for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to DreamWork. I am Colin Delaney. In a moment, I will be joined by my tag team partner, Cheech. We are the independent wrestling tag team known as To Infinity and Beyond. And every week, we're out here talking about tag teams. And this week, we get into late era WCW with the team of Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare. And whew! Admittedly, late era WCW is not my sweet spot, but this was a lot of fun. We get into a little bit of discussion on the end about missed opportunities and missed potential, but it got me thinking even further. Like, literally, if one of these two guys walked into any promotion running currently, whether it be Impact or Ring of Honor or AEW or WWE, at the age they were at this point, with that kind of raw physical ability, any one of them would be jumping at the chance to, like, figure out how to make $1 million with them. You know, it's so wild that all that potential was never truly realized or capitalized on. Like, imagine either of those dudes walking into NXT tomorrow. It's crazy to even think about. But anyways, me and Cheech somehow talked forever about Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare. So let's get down to it and let's just talk about it. I honestly don't know where they hailed from or their total combined weight. They were massive freak athletes hailing from the WCW power plant. That's right. Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare. Hey, Cheecher.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, nothing. How's life? How's quarantine still being a thing treating you?
It's there. I'm surviving.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you ever really, like, spiraled out of control. I mean, you grew a mustache and you were wearing fedoras, but I think that's as hard as quarantine hit you.
Yeah, I stopped shaving for a while. That's about as bad as it got.
I let quarantine grab a hold of me a little bit in the beginning. Was probably eating terribly and drinking too much, so I'm on, like, the straight and narrow, clean eating and living thing, which during this quarantine time still, when, like, the gym's not even open, is miserable.
I can imagine. Yeah, it's just, that's why I said I'm just surviving. I think that's everyone. Everyone's just surviving. No one's really flourishing.
At first I was like, this thing will go for a little bit, and then, you know, I'll get back on it afterwards. But it's like, oh, no, I have to change things up in the quarantine. I have to do this now. Woof.
Yeah, I remember my whole thing was like, oh, it's going to be 2 weeks, 2 weeks, no big deal, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, that's come and gone multiple times.
6 years later.
Yeah, but one thing that's helped is getting to deep dive into these tag teams, which literally, like I said, you know what I mean? I'm just barely surviving, so it's great to have something to look forward to. And this week it was, WCW 2000, oh baby.
Yeah, this is probably our most last-minute team to date. I don't know, for being last minute, it was pretty breathable. It wasn't that bad, actually.
Oh yeah, no, I breezed right through it. It was really fun. But, like, okay, truth be told, we had discussed the team and I said I had previously done somewhat of a deep dive. Compared to this, it wasn't that much. I realized I was just looking a lot more like the Filthy Animal stuff. But
right,
once again, still really pretty easy to get through all these TV matches.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. And so let's hop right in. Like you said, you had already done a little bit of a dive on Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare, but what were your preliminary thoughts?
My preliminary thoughts were that it would be fun because I remember the time and being like, oh, look at, we got, I was always, who didn't love like a new young team of guys? And these guys looked every bit that part. So I was like, okay, this is cool. Like I even liked the Natural Born Thrillers and stuff. So yeah, my preliminary thoughts were like, oh, this will be pretty enjoyable.
So I late WCW really misses me, and I've gone back and watched like pieces of it, but to sit down and watch it like this was it was it took me back. So preliminary, I thought I'd always heard that they were good. I remember some of Jindrak and O'Hare separately in WWE when the everything merged together. And I knew that they were both like, big, strong, athletic dudes, and was excited to see this whole thing unfold.
Yeah, I'm curious because I knew you weren't as familiar, so I wonder what you thought as you went through all this.
Whew. It was a it hits you good. It was one of those ones that I breezed through really fast because like you watch one of the matches and you're like, all right, give me another, give me another. You're not like, oof, all right, I've sat here for a minute. I gotta soak these in and digest them. You're like, nope, but give me another.
Yeah, like I want to say they left you wanting more, but it wasn't even that. It was just like, I like the analogy I used with like Edge and Christian. It was very digestible, you know what I mean? It was, they were going to have roughly under 10 minutes. It's going to be bing, bang, boom, in and out, show what you got. And it was like, you know what I mean? It was, which made it almost always kind of seem refreshing. It never got like monotonous.
Yeah, and they were young and they were hungry and they were trying different things, new things. It was yeah, I breezed through 12 or so matches in literally no time.
But I am curious, what did you find on them? Because I was tempted to look. All I could hear on the commentary was like, one played basketball and one did karate or something, right?
Yeah, so let's get into their accomplishments. So there really isn't much. They are two-time WCW Tag Team Champions.
Okay, yep, I saw those. Yes.
As you just stated, Sean O'Hare comes from a kickboxing background, and Mark Jindrak actually played D3 Division III basketball at nearby Cayuga College.
Oh wow. Okay, yeah, no, that's the thing. 'Cause yeah, they definitely talked it up, so I was like, oh, okay, there's definitely got to be something when you look them up. Well, that'll let you.
Well, they mentioned that he was from like the Syracuse area and that he played collegiate basketball. So I was like, did Mark Jindrak play ball at Syracuse? And then I looked it up and no, he played at a D3 school.
I was gonna say, I feel like if he was at Syracuse, we would have known that.
Right. And the only other real note I have, and I did find this a bit interesting, Sean O'Hare was the 2000 Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year.
Ah, okay, that's the one I was wondering. I go, I wonder if they got any sort of rookie of the year things. And okay, that technically they were. Like that's the thing. Like a lot of the teams we've covered, it's like, okay, yeah, they were new in the spot they were at. These guys were like, no, they were new to everything.
Yeah, WCW is on a 3-year Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year award. They won it in '98 with Goldberg, '99 with Blitzkrieg, and then 2000 with Sean O'Hare.
I'm not gonna lie, that's not bad. Those three guys definitely had made an impact. I'll give them
I
that.
know. I so I looked up the awards specifically to see if I could find like a runner up, but I don't think Observer gives out runners up because I was like, man, did O'Hare win that thing and did Jindrak get runner up? Because I'd believe it.
So like, okay, then wait, let's take a quick aside then. Like, is the power plant like actually responsible for churning out some good people?
Well, I mean, essentially all of them are power plant guys. I think the power plant did, I think, right?
Wow, you know what I mean? In my head, you think back and you're like, oh, the power plant, yeah, but then you're like, well, I mean, they did produce guys, you know what I mean? Like Jindrak and O'Hare, technically, like, well, okay, Jindrak did some WWE stuff, but he definitely had a great career down in Mexico.
Correct.
Like, yeah, I guess now that I think about it, I guess, yeah, they didn't do half bad for a school that, if you think about it, wasn't around very long.
No, for sure. And I mean, guys, like, there's we can get into the power plant another day when I have a chance to research what guys actually went to the power plant. But like, I think basically that whole crew went to the power plant, didn't they? The Natural Born Thrillers, Mike Sanders, minus Sean Stasiak, I guess. Did Palumbo is Palumbo a power plant guy?
I'm not sure. I don't. He may have been trained previously and then went there or something. But yeah, I don't know. It was just as I was watching the matches that kept in my head. Like as I watched them work, I'm just like, okay, they learned this from the power plant the whole time, kind of.
Yeah, and I guess if more guys were from the power plant, they would hit it a little harder. But at the same time, if you've got two like freak athlete, like 6'5", 6'6", jacked up dudes, you want to talk about how they're from your spot forever.
Oh, of course, definitely. And they definitely did that. You know what I mean? They definitely talked up their school and the people that came out of it. But just, you know what I mean? When you said like Goldberg, and I was like, Blitzkrieg wasn't, but I was like, still, you got Goldberg, O'Hare, Jindrak, the whole crew. I was like, that, when you think about it, because it was right at the tail end, wasn't bad product for a school to produce right at, for only a couple of years.
Correct. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. We will get into it because we're about to get into what matches we watched. But in the beginning, they mentioned that Jindrak and O'Hare graduated from the school in only 6 months, at least three times a match.
I could believe it. You know what I mean? I could believe it.
They kept putting it over on commentary, and I was like, okay, stop mentioning that they were only in training for 6 months. Cut it out. It's not helping me enjoy them.
Yeah, you see what they're going for. Like, look at how quickly they got through. But then it's kind of like, well, then you kind of just took them off the street.
Right. And then when they mess things up, I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, they only had 6 months of training, so that makes sense. But it's like, quit. I get it. It's an impressive feat to an extent, but it's also like, yeah, maybe they could have used a little longer. All right. Matches that we watched. What'd you watch, Cheech?
Oh boy, like you said, because once again, easily digestible. So I ended up seeing a ton. I saw a Vampiro Muta, a Palumbo and Stasiak, a three count, a Rey and Hoovy. I like these squash matches of Cassidy Riley and Chris Harris, Booker T and Sting, Mike Rapata and Chris Harris, Jung Dragon's three count three way. Storm and Kidman, Alan Funk and Mike Sanders, Elix Skipper and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I couldn't really remember, and I'm mad that I couldn't remember all the Misfit in Action's wacky names. So it was like it was Chavo and Lash Luger. I know they had Lieutenant Loco and Corporal Cage, and I remembered them, but whatever.
Yep.
Disco and Alex Wright, the Boogie Knights, then more of the perfect event of Stasiak and Palumbo, more Rey and Hoovy, a Rey and Hoovy and the Boogie Knights, Nash, DDP versus Stasiak and Palumbo, what a four-way with Rey, Hoovy, Lash and Hugh Morris, Stasiak and Palumbo, a Nash and DDP or the Insiders. Noble and Courageous, Awesome and Crowbar, Rey and Hoovy, Ray Kidman, Hugh Morris, and Lash and Chronic and Palumbo in a four-way, and then a three-way of Chronic and Vampiro. Like, oddly, I looked back, I was like, man, they did a lot of multi-mans. I didn't think that was like a thing back in the day.
I'll be honest, I avoided the multi-team tags, and I usually do. I usually, when we do this, I might throw one in if it looks real interesting to me, but I usually avoid them, and I usually just go straight for the straight tags.
Yeah, but the thing was, they oddly had a bunch of them, and I was like, okay, let's see how they do with it. And I, certain three ways were actually kind of fun.
Yeah, I can believe it. There was a bunch of them on their cage match. I kind of just skipped around through the singles ones and just avoided the multi-person ones. So my list is very similar, just minus the wacky three-way,
Multiples.
four ways.
Yeah.
Rey Hoovy, three count, General Rexion and Lash LaRue, Lash LaRue and Corporal Cajun, Kidman and Lance Storm, Chronic, the Filthy Animals, of Ray and Hoovy with Disco. I didn't realize it was a handicap match when I started watching it, but I just continued to watch it anyways. Hacksaw and Elix, Awesome and Crowbar, Booker T and Sting, Ray and Kidman, Courageous and Noble, DDP and Nash. So their very first, well, so they had some matches on Worldwide, which you, Nate, you said you watched them.
Yeah, yeah.
Before they came on Nitro, they did a couple on Worldwide. I think that Cassidy Riley one might be. Oh, the Alan Funk one is definitely one with Alan Funk and Mike Sanders. That's like their first, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely caught some good Worldwide ones. Yeah.
But their first, like, TV match is against Ray and Hoovy. What a, like, and they're just like pushing them, like, this is their TV debut. This is their Nitro debut. And I was like, how do you just put these two giants out there with Ray and Hoovy to debut?
Excuse me. I believe you want to refer to them as two giant cranberries. Thank you very much, K-Dog.
Conan did so much commentary back then.
Wait, okay, let's get it out of the way. Stevie Ray's amazing on commentary. There were multiple times where he was the only one calling the move correctly and actually gave coherent tag psychology. It was amazing. But yeah.
No, Stevie Ray was actually great. Conan at times was pretty good when he wasn't doing things like that and calling them cranberries. What does that even mean? What's the, I don't even get it.
I don't know. I understood when he called the whole Natural Born Thrillers an avocado farm because they're all green. I got that one. And last commentary note, fucking Mark Madden's an annoying pain in the ass, distracting to the point where I was like, does he have some like life indebtedness to Vince Russo that he has to be like, no, these guys are young. Anything old, I hate. Everything young, I love.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't stand it either. It's the worst.
But back to while we're here, Stevie Ray, once again, awesome. But yeah, Jindrakken O'Hare, those early matches, like, it's like, I feel like they were like weird science. Like you like, it's funny that you call it the power play. I was like, yeah, they literally seemed like they were designed like, what do we want? Let's make them like 6'3", 6'4", 240, 250, jacked, and also athletic as fuck. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah, they were like, let's talk about these matches, and then we're gonna have a real weird sidebar about what happened with them. But let's talk about these things. So right from the start with like against Ray and Hoovy, I mean, basically throughout, there really wasn't a time ever where I watched them and I was like, okay, they look like they've got it now. They look like they got it down. There's always signs of like, okay, they're still brand new.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, yeah, like in those early matches, they like, I feel like they were good at showing like, oh, okay, we're young upstart baby faces and we do a couple cool moves. Like they were at least real good at presenting that.
Yeah. Like some of the first things I wrote, like, sells kind of goofy, backing up into the ropes. I wrote bad clotheslines at least 12 times.
Okay, who had the bad clotheslines?
O'Hare.
Okay, do you understand it was his ridge hand clothesline? Do you understand the gimmick?
What?
Okay. There's a strike in mixed martial arts or whatever he does where he's not really throwing a clothesline. He's really throwing it with like his hand, like hold your hand flat. Like he doesn't make a fist at the end. He holds his hand flat. Like he's almost like striking you. Like the inside of his wrist is what he's going for.
It's weird. It looks
exactly.
Terrible.
No. And that's the weirdest thing. My note for him was most of his stuff is 90% flash, 10% impact, which isn't bad if you're like a worker. Like, oh, okay, his stuff does, you know what I mean? But after a while, I was like, oh, he's a good striker. And then after a while, I was like, he's not really a good striker.
No, he throws that big wild spin kick. And Jindrak's clotheslines weren't much better, though. It was just like they weren't there was no polish on those things. It looked like every time they threw him, it was like, okay, they have yet to throw 100 clotheslines in their life, you know?
Nope, I completely understand, but I wanted to make sure that you were talking about O'Hare because it was one of those things that I just as a kid back in the day, he was like in the UFC and like, I don't know, I knew some martial arts stuff. I was like, oh, okay, I know what he's going for. I go, I wonder if everybody else does. And as you showed, I guess not many other people understood what he was going for.
No, they just look bad, and sometimes like bigger guys bumping for it looks super awkward.
Yeah, I know, but he was trying. It's a technique.
And I could have wrote this in literally every match. Both guys are massive and crazy athletic.
Yes, and I like. And here's the thing: only when you do a deep study like we're doing now would I notice it. But like as I watched them, I was like, "Yes, they are crazy athletic. This is really cool." But I go, "But they're also crazy athletic, like they're 5 foot 10 and 180 pounds. Like,
Holy crap.
right? A lot of their stuff, I was like, guys, yeah, you're athletic, but you're still giants for Christ's sakes. Like, okay, none of them should ever. One of them did a jawbreaker to Chavo. I was like, you're a foot taller than him.
Yeah, it looked scary too. Like it looked like it's tough for like, a guy like Chavo is not going to take that well. It's he's if Chavo drops at all, he's going to really jack his jaw up.
Yeah, or like okay, like the springboard clothesline. I go, yeah, that was awesome. I'm sure you saw the tape of Flying Brian doing it. He's half your size.
Yeah. Did you ever see Mark Jindrak land the lion salt?
I think yeah, I think he landed on one person once, I think.
Oh wow. It was often the double down. It got like the first match, I was like, holy crap, and it's straight as an arrow. It's beautiful. It gets a little less straight as the matches go on.
Yes, it definitely does. But still, man, what athletic freaks! And I was I learned this from Jerry Lynn one time that like just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And I don't think they were gluttonous. I just think they were young. And I feel like just oh, you're a baby face in the 80s. What did baby faces do? They did jawbreakers and big diving clotheslines. It's like, yeah, but that was for small guys. Like these guys are giants.
Dude, did you watch their match against Evan Courageous and Shannon Moore?
I have just three cat. I don't have which members.
Dude, I wrote on that one, young dudes are wild because they're all young. I mean, Evan Courageous is probably the oldest of them. Shannon Moore throws a drop kick from the apron and just plummets to the floor. And
Yes.
then and then Evan Courageous does like a springboard to the top crossbody, and Mark Jindrak takes the hardest floor bump on that dive. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, they were crazy. And here's the thing, when I watched those three count matches, I was like, yo, did like Shannon Moore, who's what, 21 or something? Like, technically, you're the vet in the match. Like, did they? I want to know, or I want to ask like Hurricane, be like, hey, when you were like younger, probably younger than these guys, and they were having their third match, and you've already been on the indies for at least 4 or 5 years, but you're on TV too, and you're both guys, all four of you are kind of green, but oh no, you're the vet now. We'll leave these guys. Like it was crazy. So that's why it got a little reckless.
Well, I also see that as they were all four of them were like young and trying to make their mark, So it wasn't necess I don't I didn't see necessarily leading. It just was a crazy fun sprint of wild things.
Oh no, I agree. I just wonder if you're Shannon Moore in that moment, you're like, oh wow, I'm younger than these guys, but it's their like fifth match. I gotta make them look good. We're on. Like, I just wonder what their mentality was, being so young but having to be in that situation almost.
Yeah. So I also in looking this up, Mark Jindrak actually had his first match for WCW on a WCW Saturday night in 1999, teaming with a very young Chuck Palumbo, losing to Disorderly Conduct.
Okay, yeah. See, now, okay, that's what you would expect from like guys coming out of the power plant. But I feel like these guys, someone must have saw them at the power plant and were like, oh no. We don't have to just make them like jobbers. We can kind of push them right now. Like someone realized they had like a core group of some good young talent.
Yeah, for sure. The first time I really, so, you know, those first two matches that I watched, they were like, they looked green, but they were athletic and they looked like they were like keeping up and following what was going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was the thing. They looked, they looked like they grasped what they were doing. You know what I mean? They didn't seem like the wrestling ring didn't seem foreign to them or being like under bright lights or in front of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the match with Lash LaRue and Hugh Morris was the first one where I saw them kind of start to, like, it felt like the spots were getting a little more complicated, or maybe some of it was a little more called out there, and they started getting a little tripped up.
Yeah, a lot of the matches I felt like, and here's the thing, I put this as, like, certain points it got green guy rough, where it was like, which is appropriate. And a lot of the matches, it was like, oh, they go good, and then they kind of fall apart at the end because the ends get a little more complicated, and they're new guys.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite Jindrak and O'Hare match that you watched?
I don't know if I had favorite. I definitely had some ones that I liked. I forget what night it was, but my match of the night, whatever night I was watching, was they have a match versus Disco and Alex Wright that, like, as I'm watching, I'm like, okay, oh, okay. And all of a sudden, like, the ending, like, the last 2 minutes just go flawless. It has, like, a dog and pony show with, like, a run-in and a ref bump and something. And somehow everyone's in, like, perfect location. And I was like, whoa, hold on. And then, like, I started rethinking. I was like, yo, this match was good. I go, match of the night, match of the night. It was Jindrak and O'Hare versus Disco and Alex Wright, Nitro, somewhere in October. I didn't get the date, but I was like, oh, this is definitely match of the night, yeah.
Them against the random thrown-together team of Billy Kidman and Lance Storm is fantastic.
And, okay, I hate to be that guy, but I watch a match like that go so good, and I was like, oh, it was definitely the other guys. Like Lance Storm may be one of the best, like, five-minute match guys in the business.
But I don't care that, because, like, I don't know, they had other matches with good, experienced people. But, yeah, it was a great sprint. Both teams came out looking great. You know, when you have a team of that experience level, that's what you want to do. You want to keep them to, like, you want to keep it to a sprint. Let these new toys do their new tricks.
Oh, no, that was the best. Like my notes for that were, like, it was great that they were in there with vets who were just letting them do them. Like, okay, hit all your moves. It's cool. We got 5 minutes. We could have a fun sprint. Like, they maximized the most out of their minutes. And, yeah, it was one of those matches where I put good business. Like, everyone came out good. It was bing, bang, boom, in and out. Everybody looked good. That's all you could ask for.
I can't remember why Chronic came up last week, but in watching Jindrak and O'Hare against Chronic, I am desperate to do a deep dive on Chronic. They are the most interesting team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, bro, definitely. As I'm watching it, I'm going, ooh, I can't wait to do Chronic 1 week. Because for some reason in my head, I was like, I don't remember them. Like, I go, I guess they were around longer than I thought and were more over. Like, everything you thought about them was a little more than you thought it was, right?
Dude, it's Crush and Adam Bomb, but they're, like, doing spots, and, like, it's so weird. Adam Bomb does a loke roll off the apron at one point.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's the thing. They're finally getting, they tried to make them the Road Warriors finally, and the crowd kind of took to them like they were the Road Warriors, so they were feeling themselves, bro. Like, think about that, which is so crazy. You're talking about, like you said, Crush and Adam Bomb. They weren't, even when they were doing that, they weren't feeling themselves. But when you put them in Chronic and they were just giving guys choke slams and the meltdown, which is, you know, the pump handle slam and all that stuff, it was like, oh, they were feeling themselves. It was great.
Yeah. I literally had to write, Chronic is such an interesting team to me. I also liked in watching this, Jindrak and O'Hare, they had the same setup to a lot of their double team moves, but the end was different. Or sometimes they would end the same as a spot that they usually do, but they would set it up differently. Like, they were always, like, workshopping, and I thought that was kind of – it's always fun to see, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I like that, yes, their stuff was always evolving. Like, for example, the Tilt-A-Whirl slam used to be the setup right before the Shauntan bomb. Then by, like, 3 months later, he's literally doing it the first move in the match. Then he's doing it like mid-match. And now it's like, you know, then it was the big Frankensteiner, then the Shauntan Bomb. And I was like, I like that, you know, yeah, they're workshopping, but I was like, I like that they're always evolving.
Yeah. And they, at times they would throw like double teams that I'd never seen before in my life. Like they did basically the War Raiders finish at one point, the big toss up. And then the other dude catches with a power slam. I was like, oh, did Jindrak and O'Hare invent this in 2000 somehow? And we all just missed it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I saw that. Which again, I wrote that in my notes and I go, see, their stuff's evolving. I took that more as also like their matches with the Filthy Animals evolving. You know what I mean? They were having so many with them. It was like, okay, you do a power slam, let's get a different way into it. Okay, you do a big this, let's get a different way. You know what I mean? Which is just natural when you have 6-7 matches on TV with the same group of guys.
Yeah, in that same match, that's the first time I saw them do the double Beal from the floor. They do it on Juve, and they just launch him over the top rope. But then, did you see the double Beal to Sting?
Okay, yes, I was hoping you'd bring it up. Further proof that Sting is the greatest ever, because that man is always down for whatever. From that to buckle bombs, he don't give a fuck. He's like, oh, you're young and you got something cool? I'll take it, because Sting's the man.
For those of you, let me fill you guys in. So, Jindrak and O'Hare in this Filthy Animals match, they take Hoovy on the floor and they give him a double Beal toss over the top rope into the ring, and it's Hoovy. It looks cool. So they're wrestling Booker T and Sting on a Thunder in Australia, and Sting plummets to the floor and they go out there and meet him and they are hooking him up for a double Beal toss. And I'm like, no way. No way.
Oh, and yes, they, way.
They pick up and launch Sting, and Sting tucks his head before he gets over the ropes and he hits his neck on the top ropes and flips into the ring onto his ass. It is terrifying. That could have gone real, real bad.
Bro. But Sting don't give a what, because Sting's the man.
Holy crap. It blew my mind. It was unbelievable.
But, bro, the ones they were hitting on Kidman and Hoovy and Ray were, oh, my God. It was so, they would, oh, my God. It just looked so good.
Oh, and in the Hacksaw Elix Skipper match, which, by the way, Hacksaw and Elix Skipper is, I think, my least favorite Jindrak and O'Hare match, because it goes like a full 10 minutes, so you can really see the inexperience.
How dare you?
But they do give quite possibly the scariest in-ring Beal to Elix Skipper, who just tries to jump as high as he possibly can and tucks at the last possible second.
Okay, listen, I will only accept your negative review of that match solely on the fact that you said nothing bad about Hacksaw Jim Duggan, because he was a goddamn awesome! Him with no beard, he does the promo where he's gonna sing the anthem, starts to sing the Canadian anthem, then stops, says they're not even worth it. He slows down, he's the only person who puts on a goddamn chin lock, he's the only one in that match who works the crowd, he gets his Marion on the apron. Oh, it's good stuff. But go on, you can bury everyone else.
No, yeah, I wasn't going to bury Hacksaw. It's just their inexperience shows in longer matches, and that's wrestling. That's just, you know, that's naturally going to happen.
And the problem is they're in there a lot with Elix Skipper. So it's like, oh, boy. Like, it's I like it when they get in there with other power plant guys, because it's like, you know, they'll try a little more. But sometimes it definitely falls off the rails. Like even with JB Noble in the Noble Courageous match, I was like, oh, okay, this, let me see how this. And I was like, ooh, this one even got a little wonky.
Yeah, I noticed in the Hacksaw and Elix Skipper match that Jindrak and O'Hare only have one speed, really, you know?
True. Except, well, I wouldn't say the speed changed, but did you happen to see their match with Mike Awesome and Crowbar?
Oh, yeah.
How great was that? That one I kept watching and waiting for it to be like, uh-huh. And I was like, oh. And then, like, it worked perfectly because the second they pull out the table, suddenly the crowd's expectation goes up. But then suddenly, so does the match. Like they matched the crowd's excitement. Like, the crowd's like, oh, my God, there's a table. Everybody gets excited. And all of a sudden, they started busting out some cool stuff. So I was like, oh, wow. And then eventually, they hit the big double Beal to a Crowbar through the table, and I was like, wow, that was a heck of a match. Like, I was like, wow, they looked like when they're with big guys and then just have a normal straight tag match, it goes well. I think Table obviously.
The first thing I noted was how, I guess, you know, looking at Ginger and O'Hare next to a lot of these guys, they're big guys. But when you look at them next to other big guys, you realize how honestly gigantic they are. They're standing next to Mike Awesome, and they're like towering him.
Yeah. And then everybody talks about how Mike Awesome does crazy, you know, cruiserweight stuff. I was like, yeah, so do these guys. And even a little bit more. They're springboarding and jumping up on 1 foot, 2 foot. I was like, but they're just not as thick, but they're almost.
Dude, Sean O'Hare, every time he does that front flip to his feet over the top of a guy off the top
Oh.
rope, blows my mind.
I just hope he has on like 13 ankle braces. That's all.
Big. He's just, and he does it over Kevin Nash in that one match. I was like, oh, and Nash barely ducks.
Oh, I know. Nash was like, I ain't ducking. This is on you, kid. You say you can do it, do it. Which, okay, let's get to that match. Because it's weird that I find that like Mike Awesome and Crowbar had a way better match with them than veterans like Kevin Nash and DDP. But then when I thought about it, I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, it kind of makes sense. Like in my head, I was like, oh, like there was another DDP match where I was like, oh, it went well because DDP was just hitting spots to take everyone out. It was like, oh, okay. In the straight tag, when I watched, it stings because Nash just knows how to just mow him down. And then DDP knows how to mow him down with moves. But then, like, it kind of got off the rails for a second. I was like, oh, DDP's not the man to get this back on the rails.
No, yeah, and he's trying. DDP's doing a lot of
I
talking in that
know.
one.
I know.
It's crazy. It's crazy because as inexperienced as they are, you would think I would have seen more talking throughout the matches I watched, but I really only saw a lot of talking at the end of my watching. Like DDP is doing a lot of talking. Kidman was doing a lot of talking in the I watched a Ray Kidman
Yep.
match. He's doing a lot of talking too, but outside of that, man, it's you don't see a lot of guys trying to walk and talk them through things.
No, but it led me down a path of like just why is it? And then I was like, I feel like when they were working with super veterans, the veterans were real concerned and kind of like trying to work down to them and be like, no, choke me on the ropes, da 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 da. And then it got weird. Whereas I felt like when they wrestled like a Kidman and Lance or a three count or a Crowbar and Austin, they were just like, yo, we're just four dudes. Let's go out there and kill it. And they're like, yeah, we know you guys are just basic, but fine, we'll just have a normal match and just hit your basic cool stuff when we need you to hit it. And I felt like, I don't know, I was expecting more when they were at the vets, but I was like, nah, when they're with the contemporaries, I think it went a little better.
Yes, for sure. When they worked the vets, any I felt like they were like probably just very yes sir, no
Yeah.
sir. You know, they were like just trying to like doing whatever they were asked because man, I wish I could remember which match it was. It might be the Hacksaw Elix Skipper match. They do a double team that's like so not them, like a double Manhattan drop, double drop kick. And I was like, man, how much you want to bet? Like Hacksaw was like, what do you fellas think about a double Manhattan drop and a drop kick?
You would be wrong. And I agree with the idea, but they hit that spot. I saw them hit it numerous times.
Really? I only saw it the once and I was like, man, I bet whatever veteran that, I can't remember which match it was. It might have been that one, but I was like, I bet you one of the veterans was like, they were like trying to come up with a double team and the veteran was just like, what do you think about a double Manhattan drop and a double drop kick? And they were like, good idea, sir.
Yeah, no. The only reason because I was like, I felt like they thought they were being innovative because they both went for double goozle into the Manhattan drop, and they both were known for their drop kicks. So I was like, oh, this is like a thing they're doing.
Man, in one match, I can't remember which one it was. Sean O'Hare goes for a drop kick and dude holds on. I swear to God, Sean O'Hare was in the stratosphere trying to throw a drop kick. I was like, what in the world?
Who was he trying to drop kick?
That's what I'm saying. It might have been the Chronic match, but either way, those are big dudes. But he was drop kicking like, I don't know. He was drop kicking the Great Khali out there.
Yeah, but whew, yeah, that once again, they were just like, I can't like when I when like in the notes is like, oh, what did you learn or what did you learn about them? I go like the probability to get the most cookie cutter baby faces of the 2000s to fall of all places into the cesspool that was WCW in 2000. But as I thought more, tell me if you agree, because I was trying to think like, oh man, it sucks they ended up in WCW in 2000. But like, do you think they would have done anywhere better in a different time? Or at least at that time, like, I mean, I thought, I was like, if they were in WWE, I feel like they wouldn't have given them the shot and they would have just held them down forever. I feel like if they went for ECW, maybe ECW would have handled them well, but they die at the exact same time. I feel like WCW was both a blessing and a curse for them, because WCW was like, oh, these guys are great, let's push them to the moon. But then there was all this nonsense involved. Like, oh my God, you skipped it. You didn't see that four-way tag cage match?
No.
Oh my God. It was like, when it gets down to two teams, then the first team out is technically the winner, and the last team left in is technically the loser, and then you become like number one contender. But they had the Hell in the Cell cage, and of course they had to do a ladder spot where they fought on top of it. And I was like, all this for a goddamn Nitro? Like, it wasn't on a pay-per-view. It was like, I feel like I saw Hell in a Cell and we're like, all right, we'll do it on Nitro.
Woof. Well, but like you were just saying, you don't know if WWF would have done any better. WWF had this guy named Test who was like Jindrak and O'Hare, but with like a fourth of the athletic ability.
Yeah.
And they tried to push Test a bunch of times.
But they were always start and stops. You know what I mean? Like, they never gave him the ball. They you know, they'd make him big enough to get, like, the mid-card. And be like, all right, that's good enough and stop.
Yeah, but if he was as athletic as either of these guys, I feel like you put Jindrak or O'Hare in Test's spot in 98. That dude's they're a star.
Oh, okay. Yes. I agree. If they had his spot, they would do better. I thought you were saying, like, if they would have just gotten as high as Test would have gotten.
No, I'm saying that, like, with WWE's track record at that point, they had a big dude of size who they pushed basically just because he was a big, athletic-looking dude, big, tall dude who didn't have a quarter of the athleticism of these two dudes. So if either of those guys is in that spot, woo.
But I was thinking tag team, though, if they came in as a team.
Agreed. Yeah, that's a little trickier. But I did want to have a slight conversation about, like, how did they not continue to work?
You mean, like, storyline wise? Didn't they get, like, something that Thrillers broke up, and then it went to O'Hare and Palumbo.
Yeah, but the idea that, like, both of them, so they both went over to WWE and both had very forgettable WWE runs.
Yes.
It just, when watching these matches with, like, they're super young here. By the time they get to WWE, they're still super young. How do you not figure it out with either of them?
I think they just had too much WCW stink on them.
Yeah, I mean, everyone saw the Evolution thing. They did try with Jindrak at a point.
But then you saw in that, whatever, Randy Doc Revolution Doc or something, where they were like, he was just him and Randy were just young, dumb kids. He was just too busy being a young, dumb kid.
Right. And they were young. And I guess from reading into it, I mean, we all know Sean O'Hare passed away. He battled depression and drugs and alcohol for a very, very long time. So, I mean, that could have been it. But man, you look at the promise these guys had in 2000 as a team, but then, like, just looking at them individually and what they could do, the idea that they didn't just make $1 million would blow your mind.
Once again, like I said, I feel like WCW was the blessing and the curse, because, like, they had all that, and WCW was a place where, oh, you got all that, they'll try and give you the moon, where WWE, they're a little more discerning, you know what I mean? And unfortunately, like I said, I feel like by the time they got there, it wasn't necessarily that the bloom was off the rose, but it kind of was, just because it was like, oh, you're WCW guys.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess they did try with Sean O'Hare. They did give him a gimmick. They gave him Piper. They tried to, you know, make something happen. But yeah, it's one of those, while watching this, I was just like, oh man, the idea that neither one of these guys went on to be like a world champion or anything, or even like a contender. I mean, Jindrak is doing his thing in Mexico and married like a model and wrestles and does like soap operas and movie appearances and crazy stuff, but still.
Yeah, no, they're a heck of a team. The answer I came up with for mine was the only place I could see them maybe doing better than what they had in WCW was if they were in like NXT now and they were like, okay, we could actually really mold you. But back in 2000s, when it was still a little more, well, it was just more Wild Westish, where it was like, all right, you're out of school, you're in our power plant, bam, you're on TV, let's run with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true, I guess. All right, so I mean, we've covered it front to back at this point, and I think the answer is pretty obvious. But what made Jindrak and O'Hare great?
Like I said, literally, they were, you'd almost think they were made in a computer when you were like, what are all the things you would want in a, I wrote they were blue chippers, but not in like the burial sense of like when Jim Ross calls you a blue chipper, you know what I mean? It usually never works out in anything. It was like, no, these guys were in every sense of the word blue chippers. And they totally fit that mold. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, as a team, you know, they were done by the end of WCW, but I feel like they burned bright. And for that time, they were great for what they were. They were the new young alternative, and they were great at being that.
And and they were young, and they were so easy to push. You know what I'm saying? They were so easy to push. You have these two giant, jacked up, crazy athletic dudes who are super young and out of your training facility. Like, that's the dream. WCW like stumbled upon this like perfect storm scenario, and what made them great, they like you said, they were built in a laboratory. They could have been, you know, they were super soldiers.
Yeah, I put like in my head, I was trying to think, like, they're just the most highly unlikely team. Like, when you think of like, oh, we stumble upon two giant, tall, jacked up, cut out of stone, athletic guys, and they're in WCW as it's going, as the garbage fire is burning bright.
Oof, man. Yeah, they literally had two Captain Americas walk into their facility.
Yeah, man, it's just so crazy when you think all like, but that's what made them great. Like, they like, when you look up what potential looks like, that's what potential looks like.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now this one, man, this one's a little trickier. How would we beat them?
Oh my god, it would be fun. Because, like you saw with Kidman and Storm, when they're in there with little guys who know how to work around people's skill sets, which we excel at, screw it, I'll say it. I think that would be awesome. Like you said, they had a bunch of wacky double teams. We got wacky double teams, but here's how we win. Their Achilles heel is they're giants who wrestle like little guys. We're little guys. We will out-wrestle them at the little guy stuff, and they'll just be lost, and then we'll just try it out double-team them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, we'll outdo them in the little stuff and then beat them in the big stuff, but they're just too big. Like, I don't think I'm hitting any power moves on them.
Well, for sure. That's what I was going to say. We lure them into doing their little guy stuff, and we're ready for it. We don't let them get us with the big guy stuff. We lure them into thinking that that this is the match where they should do more of their flippies, more of their springboardies, and then we're ready for it.
Exactly. Or here's the other thing we do. We wrestle in an indie ring from the year 2000 that has high ropes, and they can't do any of their springboard crap, because the only reason they could pull that crap off is because those low-ass WCW ropes. So we just have it in a modern-day ring, and they're screwed.
That's not a bad idea. One of those rings that you get to, and you're like, I don't even know if I can run these ropes.
Yeah, I forget. There was some place recently where I was like, oh, you go to what they tell me name the promotion. I was like, oh, they have a high top rope, bro. They're like, what? I go, yeah, I'm just letting you know. Oh, Beyond has a high top rope.
They do. They do have a little bit of a high top
rope. Exactly. See, you know what? As soon as I said, you were like, oh, you thought about it. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, had you boost me for the dive.
Yeah, so therefore, okay, we have to challenge. We would challenge them in Beyond, and then they just wouldn't be able to hit. They would only be able to hit some of their stuff, not all their stuff, and that's how we win.
All right. I'm glad we figured that out.
Oh, snap. Wait, here's the other thing we could do. I don't know if you caught this. To throw them off, we make them go back to the – for randomly for a couple of weeks, they or a week or so, they were in Hardy pants because WCW is painfully, horribly unoriginal. We make them wear those again. Yes. They looked uncomfortable as hell, even more in our favor. Bam.
I made a note of it against Misfits in Action. Now in baggy pants, first thing I wrote.
Yeah, I just saw that. I go, come on, WCW.
Yeah, all right. Jindrak and O'Hare in the books. In my match watching, I didn't mention it in there because it is a singles match and it's also not a wrestling match. I did watch Sean O'Hare against Butterbean from Pride.
I was so tempted to watch.
Go ahead. If you got 57 seconds, right?
No, please. Oh, but there was other stuff too. I was like, do I really want to check out his MMA stuff? I was like, nah, let me not.
I was on his Wikipedia and it said that he lost to Butterbean in like 30 seconds in a Pride fight. And I was like, oh, I bet that whole thing's on YouTube. And I was right. It's so good. He's throwing like his kicks and you could tell Butterbean's just absorbing. He doesn't even flinch. And then Butterbean's just letting him throw shots. And then Butterbean will throw one when he's ready. And that one puts O'Hare like on his heels, like, oh shit.
Of course. Cause first off, he could take all the hits. He doesn't even have a neck. And then he just waits. And yeah, he literally just revs up and just one big kablamo.
Yeah. I strongly suggest you take the 57 seconds that it'll take you to get through Butterbean and Sean O'Hare from Pride. It's on YouTube. Give it a look.
I'll look it up.
All right, so another one down. We've made it through our rotation here. I think we got to go like we got to go independent or we got to go TNA/Impact. I think we probably should be throwing Impact in more frequently because they actually have been around longer than WCW existed at this point.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
The issue is the WWE Network makes it easy to find.
Yes,
you know, WCW, ECW, WWE stuff. Impact's a little tougher, and I'm not gonna go buy Impact Plus yet.
Yeah.
But I would be interested in doing an America's Most Wanted or a Beer Money or an LAX. America's Most Wanted and LAX both won an Observer Tag Team of the Year award. So, I mean.
Yeah, no, I was looking up. Yeah, we definitely, we're due for something outside of the, you know, the normal big three. So, yeah, I'm definitely down to look up some cool stuff and try and find something a little off the beaten path.
We will brainstorm. And as always, if you have suggestions, feel free to hit us up at DreamWorkPod on the Twitter or hit us up individually at ExtremelyCute is mine, at NewWaveCheech is Cheech. Hit us up. Let us know how you liked it. If you have a team suggestion. And yeah, that's just about it. So, oh man, we've already been going 50 minutes. 50 minutes, Cheech.
Oh, I know.
All right. Well, this is probably as good a place as any to end it. All right, guys. Until next week.
Adios.